Translation. Otherwise, if one does not take shelter of Achyuta and Baladev, then the senses acting as the horses and the intelligence acting as the driver, both being prone to material contamination, inattentively bring the body, which acts as the chariot, to the path of sense gratification. When one is thus attracted again by the rogues of Vishaya, eating, sleeping, and mating, the horses and chariot driver are thrown into the blinding dark well of material existence, and one is again put into a dangerous and extremely fearful situation of repeated birth and death. Please repeat. Otherwise, if one does not take shelter of Achyuta and Baladev, then the senses acting as the horses and the intelligence acting as the driver, both being prone to material contamination, inattentively bring the body, which acts as the chariot, to the path of sense gratification. When one is thus attracted again by the rogues of Vishaya, eating, sleeping, and mating, the horses and chariot driver are thrown into the blinding dark well of material existence, and one is again put into a dangerous and extremely fearful situation of repeated birth and death. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Without the protection of Gaur Nittai, Krishna and Balaram, one cannot get out of the dark well of ignorance in material existence. This is indicated here by the word nochet, which means that one will always remain in the dark well of material existence. The living entity must get strength from Gaur Nittai or Krishna Balaram. Without the mercy of Gaur Nittai, there is no way to come out of this dark well of ignorance. As stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1-2, Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gaudaye Pushpavantano Chitro Shando Tamo Nudo. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. This material world is a dark well of ignorance. The fallen soul in this dark well must take shelter of the lotus feet of Gaur Nittai, for thus he can easily emerge from material existence. Without their strength, simply attempting to get out of the clutches of matter by speculative knowledge will be insufficient. Om Agyanatim Varandasya Yanajana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Gena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. By remembering the Panchatattva, then difficult things become easy. But by forgetting them, easy things become difficult. So Prabhupada translated this word, no chet. It's just no chet, which means like not, right? Not to follow. But he took the liberty to translate it as, if we do not follow the instructions of Achyuta, Krishna, and do not take shelter of Balaram. So here we see that Prabhupada's affection for Gaur Nittai and Krishna Balaram, how he dedicates the purport to gaining the strength from them. Because we heard just a couple verses back about these enemies. He's saying if we don't take shelter again will be overcome. So again, even after hearing, right, through hearing, we develop faith. First we hear that, wow, you're not that body, you're a spirit soul, and you're eternal servant of Krishna, and everything that you have been doing for this entire life, and lifetimes even, all of it is simply, you know, a misdirected path, and it is simply a waste of time. And then we hear that, and then faith is aroused in our heart, and we go, yes, now I know my true identity. And so we begin the path of bhakti, path of devotional service. But here it's saying that the intelligence and the senses, they're all prone to material contamination. So unless one is extremely diligent on the path of devotional service, and unless one is aware, what are the pitfalls? What are the modes of material nature? How are they affecting me? Then there's every chance, like it says here, when one is thus attracted again by the rogues of Vishaya, eating, sleeping, and mating, the horses and chariot driver are thrown into this dark well. So we see that it is a scientific process that one must always be alert to. And, you know, like we have a tendency, especially Westerners, that we always want a variety and something new and something different. But we see there is nothing new and nothing different because Krishna consciousness is all there is. So our only alternative is that we must dive deeper, deeper into it. There's no way out because we know too much. We know that there is no relief in material activities, in the material realm. So therefore, we just take like this simple morning program, you know, like day in and day out, day in and day out. So what to do except to become absorbed in it, become, give our heart to it, give our consciousness and our mind and actually do it all in the highest possible mode that we can, you know, until we are gradually on the pure platform. So what alternative is there? Because it's repeated, mentioned two verses back, that one's conception of life, they're polluted by passion and ignorance, which are exhibited by attachment, hostility, greed, lamentation, illusion, fear, madness, false prestige, insults, fault-finding, deception, envy, intolerance, passion, bewilderment, hunger, and sleep. So these are our enemies. So most people are not even aware that they're their enemies. Like, you know, a lot of times in advertisement, they'll say, be the envy of your friends. Like they think that's a great thing. If you can make others envious of you, then that's a great accomplishment. You know, how you should be better materially so they'll all be envious. Where as a devotee, we're like, oh, we would never wish such a thing. And, you know, most people aren't even aware that these are anarthas. They're unwanted things. They're thinking, these are qualities that I wish to achieve. If I can have more and more of these, then I will be successful. So now, how? Prabhupada's saying, it doesn't matter. Like you have here, without the strength of Gornitai, attempting to get out of the clutches of matter by speculative knowledge will be insufficient. So granted, we need the sword of knowledge, because only with the sword of knowledge can we progress. But then, even if we have the sword of knowledge, we have, you know, all knowledge at our disposal, without that mercy, then it will not be fruitful. Now, we often think of mercy, like you're walking down the hallway and a devotee says, here, Prabhu, and put some Mahaprasadam in your hand. And it's like, and you say, mercy, like you got mercy, especially if it's something you really like. So we kind of have there's a connotation that mercy means something will just fall upon me without any endeavor. That's mercy. But what does mercy really mean? Mercy means that okay, now, Gaur Nitai, how do I take shelter? You know, the mercy means that I'm going to follow the instructions that the Guru, Guru Krishna, Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach, I have this seed, now I must water it by following the instructions. And that's the mercy that I can, that I can follow and that I can pray to them, and then the mercy will come. Now, Lord Chaitanya, right? He said, I came just so I can inundate the world with love of God. So he's freely bestowing mercy, but yet we look and see who will not take advantage. He said, I have come to inundate, but yet there's some who will not accept it. So, you know, the student class, those who are too materially attached, those who are proud, many people, they just refuse to accept it. So he said, I will devise a trick so that I can capture everyone. Everyone will be captured regardless of their, you know, in their lack of desire to take it. So we know one time Lord Chaitanya, he was teaching when he became a householder, and once he was sitting chanting, Gopi, 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 and one of his students said, why are you chanting Gopi, Gopi? You should be chanting the name of Krishna. You know that we chant the name of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, Krishna, why would I chant the name of that rogue? And then he took a stick and he began chasing the student of his. The student ran and ran until Lord Chaitanya, his associates grabbed him and prevented him from following and beating this boy. But the boy went to his other friends and said, you won't believe what happened. Nimai was chanting, Gopi, Gopi, and then he started chasing me with a stick. I'm very happy to be alive. He tried to kill me. And they're like, who does he think he is? And they all started criticizing. They said, we all come from Brahmin families, so he should be respectful to us. He thinks that he's some great pandit or something. Well, we will teach him a lesson. We will beat him. So when Mahaprabhu heard about this, he said he was once in a kirtan with the devotees, and then he said that I have brought the medicine, he said in Bengali, of Pipali Khanda, and this is a medicine that cures mucus in the body. He said, but instead of curing the disease, I have instead increased the disease. These people, I came to deliver them, and now they have taken this offense upon their head. And now they are bound by millions of ropes, whereas previously they were just bound by a few. Now so many ropes have bound them. So I've really been the cause of their material bondage rather than liberation. So I have to do something. So he was in kirtan, and then at the end he just said that verse. And they're like, that's weird. Why would he say that? I have brought the medicine, you know, to cure. But Nityananda, of course, knows the mind of Mahaprabhu. So he understood. And then later he went with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know the reason for my descent here. So I'm just asking your permission. And Nityananda tried to dissuade him. You know, like, it's not necessary that you have to take sannyas. You have an elderly mother at home who is a widow and a young wife, only 14 years old, and you're going to take sannyas. This is against religious principles. And you came to teach religious principles. And he said, no, I must do this, because then those very people that want to beat me, I will go begging at their door. When I go to their door, they will fall down, because no one disrespects a sannyasi. Everyone respects them. So then they themselves, they will offer alms to me, and they will be rid of their offenses. So Nityananda, he said, you are fully independent. So what can I say? I know whatever you want, that will be done. And then Lord Chaitanya told him, when the time comes, I want you to tell 5 people only that I'm taking sannyas. Does anyone know who those 5 people are? Or you want to guess? One of them? Yeah, Mother Sachi was one. So, and then anyone else? Guess. And then Mukunda. And he said, let's see, did I write it down? Mother Sachi. All right, Mukunda, Sachi, Chandrasekhar Acharya, Gadadhara Pandit, and Brahmananda Bharati. So only tell them and no one else when the time on a certain day. So it's 502 years ago and 7 months. So this is when it happened. And so he carried on with his ordinary Sankirtan and activities. Then the time had come. But before that, he went and visited each of these devotees and told them, someday in the future, I will do this. And all of them basically said the same thing, that it's really not proper. And how will we live without you? If you go away, we will be so bereft of your company, and that will be torturous for us. But each one, he reciprocated. And Lord Nityananda, he just went in a solitary place and cried and cried and cried, thinking of the plight of Mother Sachi. And I don't know if anyone ever heard this tape recording of Srila Prabhupada telling, and Prabhupada is crying. He said, how? When, Lord Chaitanya told his mother later, I really shouldn't have taken sannyas, and I'm so sorry that I left. And Prabhupada is crying because it's so heart-wrenching. So now the time has come. It's the night before. Only these 5 devotees know, and a couple others, because sometimes devotees can't keep secrets real well. So a few other, like Haridas Thakur and very close, intimate associates, know. And so he's having kirtan at his home, and as was customary, like hundreds of devotees would come, so many. They would just come and go, just to come and offer respectful obeisances, offer him a garland, and like that, and get his blessings. And he told everyone, right, Krishna Bolo and Nama Bolo, always talk about Krishna, always chant the name of Krishna. And he would tell everyone that. And so they would just come and go, not knowing this would be the last time they would see him there at his house. And then his dear devotee, Kola Vachar Sridhar, brought him a squash. And then just after that, another devotee brought him a pot of milk. So he knew, well, I'm going to leave and I can't not accept this offering of the squash and the milk. So he asked Mother Sachi to cook them together. So squash and milk, I'm not sure if it was sweet or salty, but he had that. And then he took rest. Now, Mother Sachi knows, so she doesn't take rest. She just sits up all night by the door, hoping to persuade him otherwise. And a few other devotees took rest in his house. So now he goes to sleep, and he's awoken by Vishnu Priya. She's massaging his feet, but tears are falling from her eyes. She's not supposed to know this. So then he wakes and he's like, what's the matter? What is it? What is it? And he takes the end of his chatter and wipes her tears and pacifies, saying, Priya, tell me, tell me. And she won't speak. And then he said, you must tell me, what is troubling you? And she said, I heard that you are going to take sannyas. And I don't know, but he said, who told you that? I wouldn't do that. And he told her that, like he just, pacified her until she was a little bit pacified. But then again, she took rest. She didn't really, but he took rest. And again, she woke him and saying, I know you are going to do it. If I'm the cause, because of your entanglement in householder life, then I will drink poison or let me go, not that you should go. You should stay here. How will your old mother survive? You will be the cause of her death if you leave. So let me go. I am just a useless pile of ashes if I'm, you know, I'm the cause of your wanting to take sannyas. So then he finally told her, now you know why I have come, why we both have come, right? She's Bhushakti, and we've come for the deliverance of this world. So then he revealed to her that you have to make this sacrifice. So 14 years old, and the goddess of fortune herself, and you have to make the sacrifice for the world. So that includes all of us sitting here because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So then he rises early in the morning after Vishnupriya had fallen asleep, and then he tries to leave, but Mother Sachi is right at the door, just drenched in tears. And then she said, please don't go. You must not go. Look at all of your friends here. You have all of these associates, and every day you engage in Sankirtan with them. So why not just continue in this way, you know, in this great association that you have? There's no need to leave. Look, your father has left. He passed away. Your brother, Vishwarup, has left. So why should you leave as well? Please stay here. And he just starts crying. He puts his head on her lap, and he said, only because of you have I grown, and only because of you have I learned everything I know. You saw to my education. And so I'm eternally indebted to you. And not only that, you're my mother. In so many lifetimes, you've been my mother. And now, in this age of Kali, you appear also as the tongue, so for chanting the holy name, and in the Didi form as well. These are incarnations of mother. So please realize that you also are here for this higher purpose. But she was very, and he said, and I will always care for you. Wherever I am, you just call my name, and then I will take care of whatever it is that you need. And so with great sorrow, she allowed him to go, and he went to the Ganges River and then just began walking to Kachwa. Now, in the morning, as was customary, many devotees would come to see Lord Chaitanya, his very close associates. So they came and they said, Sachi Mata, why are you just sitting here like this? And she said, the Lord is gone. Nimai is gone. You are his devotee, so everything belongs to you. Take all of his possessions and you keep them. So they just began to faint upon hearing this. And we know how it is in India. That's why we go to the pilgrimage places, and especially Lord Chaitanya, it's so current, only 500 years ago. And we know how it is, anything unusual in the village, like the word just spreads. And then everyone, they heard this loud wailing. So they all come running. What happened? What happened? And then they hear, and then they start crying. And everyone in Navadvip is just immersed in crying. And even the non-devotees said, we are such fools. We didn't recognize that Lord Chaitanya, who he was. And we didn't take advantage of his association. And everyone is crying. So then a few devotees, they followed Mahaprabhu to Katwa. And he goes there to meet Keshava. Keshava Bharati, right? Is that who gave him sannyas? Yeah. So he goes there, and first he has to get shaved. So there's a barber named Madhava, and he's like, no way can I shave your hair. But he said, you must, because I'm taking sannyas, and I have to shave. So he shaves Mahaprabhu's beautiful locks of curling black shiny hair, and then he's weeping himself, and everyone is in the whole village of Katwa. They're all there weeping, and they are saying, "Who is this? Who is the fortunate mother of this boy? That he just looks so effulgent, and who could he be?" And then what happens is Madhava, after that, he says, "I will never cut anybody's hair again." Jai Shri Shiva. And then he changed his occupation and became a cook, a sweet cook. So he just made sweets. Now, Lord Chaitanya went to Keshava Bharati and he said, "No way can I give you sannyas. You are so young and handsome that you should come back at least when you're after 50 years old. Come back, you know, in 25 years or more, because now you're not ready for sannyas. And there's no way I can do that." And he's there, "You must. I've already dedicated myself. I've already decided that this is what I will do. So please, you must do it." So Keshava Bharati's thinking, "Well, I will divert him, and that way I can run away." He said, "I want you to go back and get permission from your wife and your mother. Go get permission from them." And then he said, "I already did. I already told them I was doing this." And then he's thinking, "Oh, I can't escape anyway, because Mahaprabhu is omniscient and he will know where I am." And then he thought, "But still, how can I do it? How can I give sannyas to him?" So Lord Chaitanya says, he thinks of a good plan. He says, "You know what? I had a dream. In a dream, a Brahmin came to me, and the Brahmin gave me the sannyas mantra. I just want you to tell me, is this the correct mantra?" And so he whispers the mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati. And so you see, Mahaprabhu, in essence, initiated him. He gave Keshava Bharati the mantra. So therefore, because he was saying, "You're fit to be my guru, not that I should be your guru." So then after he told him, he said, "Yes, yes, that is the mantra." So then he accepted sannyas, and there was tumultuous kirtan, everyone very, very joyfully engaging in chanting. And as we know, Lord Chaitanya engaged in preaching. Now he's sannyasi, just traveled and preached all over. And, you know, he wanted to experience, right, the mood of Srimati Radharani. When Srimati Radharani was feeling separation, she would put on saffron cloth and be in that intense, mood. And so Mahaprabhu was also experiencing that. And we see that for our deliverance and the deliverance of everyone, and he said, you know, "In every town and village, my name will be heard." So it's just a matter of time, just time before this will happen. And as Bhaktisiddhanta said, that don't be discouraged when he sent the devotees here, because, you know, the seeds that you're planting, it may take 300 years for them to fructify. So as we continue in the Sankirtan movement, then it will come to fruition. But you know, how will we know? How will we know that we're getting this mercy? Because it's not possible here, no matter what our material qualifications, you know, no matter how intelligent we may be, how wealthy and famous and influential and beautiful, no matter what qualifications, they're all insufficient and insignificant without this mercy of Gaur Nittai. So now as we spread the holy name, and more people will come to take shelter of Gaur Nittai, we see that that our progress can still be very, very slow. Although Lord Chaitanya is giving it, he's giving the holy name freely, but to accept it means that we really have to apply ourselves, not that we just whimsically accept it, that we're just being pushed by the waves of material nature. And although we're chanting Hare Krishna, we say that one may chant for millions of lifetimes, but without giving up the offenses to the holy name, you know, without really becoming serious, our progress will be very, very slow. So it's true that, you know, Srila Prabhupada gave us everything and that we can go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. But we see it's not such a simple thing. It means that we really must come to the level of pure bhakti, pure devotional service. So this, again, this mercy, this verse is all about like achieving that, like accepting that mercy. So then how will we know when we have that mercy? Well, first of all, we know that we can reciprocate. We know that Gaur Nitai are, their whole purpose, right, is to distribute love of God. So if we somehow take part in that mission of distributing love of God, then we can feel, it's so perceptible that we can feel that we have their mercy when we're assisting them in some small way, whatever we can, and maybe even in a greater way, more than we can, you know, stretching beyond our comfort level, because, you know, we are a movement, like Prabhupada said, one must very boldly deliver Krishna consciousness. So that's how. And then, you know, the more that we have mercy, of course, the more unqualified we feel, and the more that we feel how fallen we really are and how much further we have to go. And at the same time, we feel the cessation of material desires, and we feel the, you know, that we really are endeavoring to follow the instructions of the Guru and Gaur Nitai. Of course, if we don't hear them, we won't even know that we're not following them. So that's why it's so important to hear what are those instructions, because ignorance is bliss. If we don't know, then it's kind of blissful to think, well, I'm okay, you know, I'm in the Hare Krishna movement, and I'm making, you know, I'm safe in the Hare Krishna movement. But unless we hear, what is it? What is it really that's demanded of us? How much are we required to surrender? And then, but surrender, it's such a blissful process, not that it's a torturous process that I have to grind my teeth and surrender, you know. But no, we surrender joyfully, and then realize we can feel the cessation of the pushings of the modes of nature upon us in all of our activities. Every activity is influenced by these modes like that. So we can all take advantage now of, we've received this valuable boat of the human form of life, which affords us this extreme advantageous opportunity to take advantage, so that we can, as Prabhupada says, we can be not put into a dangerous and extremely fearful situation of repeated birth and death. See, if we didn't hear that, we'll think, well, it's not so bad after all. But here he's saying dangerous and extremely fearful. So then we wake up. So we'll all take advantage of this mercy. Okay, so are there any comments or questions on these topics?